Hello and welcome to Grace Life Sir Lowry's Pass. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
Today is Resurrection Sunday, the day we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Amen. But here at Grace Life, we do that all the time, almost. Huh? Don't you agree?
Amen.
Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is a very, very important part of what we believe. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
You're all good. It is essential for Christianity. Many times when I do outreach, I like to ask people, what do you believe? And they say, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in God. But then I like to ask them more questions, to ask, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about God? Because James 2 verse 19, James 2 verse 19 says, you say you have faith,
yes,
for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Okay, so we are not saved by simply believing that God or Jesus exists. Eh? We are not saved because we believe that.
Yeah.
Salvation comes when we believe and trust. This is very important. When we believe and trust in what God in Christ Jesus has come to do for us. We need to trust in Him. We need to trust that His work that He did on the cross is finished, and that there is nothing that we can add. Amen? That includes the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That is what we need to believe. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus did many miracles that proved that He was God. He healed the sick. He drove out demons. At His baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke audibly from heaven. And people could hear. It wasn't just a voice in Jesus' head, man. God spoke audibly, confirming that Jesus is God, man. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus raised people from the dead. But His own resurrection from the dead, Jesus' own resurrection from the dead, is the ultimate proof. The ultimate proof that He is God. The fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead has been examined. It has been examined and investigated from every angle and studied endlessly by countless scholars, theologians, professors, and others over the centuries. And not even just Christian scientists, Christian theologians. I'm talking about atheists as well. Eh? People that don't believe in God have set out to disprove Him, set out to prove there is no God. And what do they discover?
There is a God.
There is a God. Amen. There is a God. Even though they try to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is zero credible historical evidence that is not so. Ne? They actually found that the evidence is overwhelming. It is clear and convincing. Jesus died and He rose from the dead. It's an historical fact. It's an historical fact. After Jesus rose from the dead and started appearing to His disciples, He made sure that His disciples were all believing that He really is alive and risen from the dead. John 20, verse 27. John 20, verse 27. Then He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See My hands. Reach out your hand and put it into My side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. That is a word for us today. Stop doubting in Jesus and believe. Ne? The writers of the Gospels wrote that down so that we too can read it and believe. This is not a storybook, ne? This is not a storybook.
Yeah.
It is a historical record. It is historical evidence. It is the eyewitness accounts of what they saw, the apostles. What they did, what they touched with their own hands. They wrote it down. It is their eyewitness accounts. This is a historical fact. That's amazing, huh? Think about that today. Do you believe that Jesus came back to life after being dead for 3 days? This is a personal question that we need to ask ourselves. Do you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Jesus is alive.
He's alive.
That is the good news that we are celebrating today. Jesus is alive. Amen. And He was here, is here right now. He listened to your praises. That last song that sang, I forget the words, I'm not good with remembering song words, but our praises for Him.
Yes.
It was good. He liked it.
Amen.
Amen. Because He could hear it.
Yes.
He is not a dead idol made of wood or stone or something that man thought up. He is here. He listens. He enjoys fellowshipping with us. Amen. When we are here, God is here.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because He is in us.
Amen.
He is in us. This building isn't the house of God.
So true.
We are the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
There are about 300, maybe more, prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled in His time on earth. Words that were spoken and written down by men who lived hundreds of years apart on different continents. Years, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But all of them heard God speaking to them about a Savior to come. And their message all agree. And they describe the life, the events, and the character of Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled those prophecies, proving that He was in fact the Savior.
Amen.
The Word made flesh, the Son of God, the Messiah. He proved that He was the man they were prophesying about. We were doing a lesson in life group about how small the possibility is of just 8 prophecies about Jesus. It is impossible that Jesus could have fulfilled them. It is almost impossible for anyone to be able to fulfill even just 8 prophecies. Impossible. But Jesus did fulfill them because He in fact is the one. Amen? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I want you to go there in your Bible because that is where we are going to stand still a little bit today. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Wahid, could I ask you for some water? Asseblief. A glass of water, yeah. Baie dankie, hoor. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. There were some people in the Corinthian church who were saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. And Paul writes to the Corinthians in order to set right this wrong teaching that was spreading there. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. It is very important that we have our Bibles. Because we are students of the Word, amen?
Amen?
How can you call yourself a student of the Word if you don't have your Bible? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you." This is Paul speaking, eh? "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive and on which you have taken your stand. Okay? By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I, Paul, preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. You have believed for nothing. No? That's what in vain means. You have believed for nothing. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. First importance. It was very, very important for Paul that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Thank you. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The scriptures is Genesis to Malachi, ne? The scriptures, the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus was going to come and do for us. Paul was absolutely convinced that the gospel that he shared was the only correct gospel. And he could say that because he got it directly from Jesus himself. And his message was confirmed to be true by the other apostles who walked with Jesus. We can ask ourselves, is the gospel that I preach to people the full and the correct gospel? If you are uncertain, then come and be trained and be taught. Amen? That's why we are here. That is why the church exists as well. This is a house of teaching.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? Are you confident in sharing the gospel that you know? Ask yourself. Are you confident in sharing the gospel that you know? And can we also ask ourselves, if this is the gospel we believe, is this the gospel that we have taken our stand on? No? What is the gospel? Here we see that Paul refers to a specific message, a specific gospel, the gospel Paul preached to them, and the gospel that they believed and were standing on to be saved. Paul says, by this gospel you are saved. I mean, in other words, you can't be saved through another gospel. Right? By this gospel you are saved. And then he tells them what this gospel is. That Christ died for their sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life on the third day. Paul was making this point because there were people saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. He made a point to include the resurrection of Jesus. You are not preaching the gospel if you are not also preaching about the resurrection. When we share the gospel, it is important that we also tell people the good news that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is alive today.
Yes.
Don't leave it at the cross. Bring it to the resurrection. That is very important because you can't get saved if you don't believe that. Ne? But notice that Paul says that it happened according to the scriptures. The scriptures, like I just said, is Genesis to Malachi, and it points to Jesus. Just listen to this amazing prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah lived about 600 years before Jesus came on the scene of human history. Isaiah 53 verse 9. Isaiah 53 verse 9. Isaiah 53 verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked. Who's the wicked? It was humanity. It was people, no?
Yes.
He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence. Jesus had done no violence.
Yeah.
Neither was any deceit. Deceit means lies. No? neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. I'm reading from the King James, New King James Version. He put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Okay, the first part is describing some of the details of Jesus' death. Hundreds of years before his death, this prophet saw in the spirit what was going to take place. He died between two sinners. Jesus died between two sinners. That is what he was talking about. He made his grave with the wicked. He was buried in a rich man's grave. Did you know that? A rich man asked for the body of Jesus and he put him in his grave. That is what the scripture is talking about. He never sinned or lied, yet he became sin for us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you don't have to go there now. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 10 in Isaiah. Verse 10 in Isaiah 53 says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, referring to Jesus. Okay? People misunderstand this verse and they say that God was angry and he enjoyed it to crush Jesus on the cross. If we say that, we say that one, God killed Jesus, which is not true, The people killed Jesus. And number two, God is an angry God that enjoys the pain of others. That is not what this means, It simply means that the death of Jesus on the cross was in the plan of God. It happened as it had to, And we also need to remember that Jesus was God himself. Okay? God bruised himself. He crushed himself on the cross. He made his own soul an offering for our sin. Okay. Then Isaiah turns his focus to the resurrection. At the end of verse 10, he says, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. The travail is like the struggle of his soul, okay? And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Iniquities is sin, He shall bear their sins. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, numbered with the sinners. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This verse is describing how Jesus will see the fruit. It says there, he shall see his seed. He shall see the fruit, the good that will come from his suffering and death. The seed that he will see and the many that will be justified is referring to you and me.
Amen.
To every person that trusts in Jesus for salvation. If Jesus did not resurrect, he would not be able to see his seed. And there wouldn't be a seed anyway if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. This shows us once again that it has always been about God reaching the world, having many sons and daughters, being one with man. The plan was never just to have one nation worship him, the nation of Israel. The entire human race, all nations, is what God wanted for himself. God provided eternal life and relationship with him to the whole world. He made it freely available by his mercy and grace. And the way we receive that is by Faith, yes. At least one person knows how to receive salvation. I'm just joking. I know you all know it. It is by faith, no? We receive it by faith. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt that. Are you just shy? Shy to speak, huh? Jesus himself prophesied about his own resurrection, no? Mark 8:31. Go to Mark 8:31. Markus 8, vers 31. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Sure. I thought it was our speakers. Jesus prophesied about his own death and resurrection many times. Here we can read that he taught his disciples about it. Ne? One day the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law came to Jesus and asked him for a sign to prove his authority. Okay, to prove that you are God. In his response to them, he mentioned the prophet Jonah. Matthew 12, verse 39. Go to Matthew 12, verse 39. Matthew 12, verse 39. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they, the men of Nineveh, repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here."
Wow.
I love that, huh? Yes. That even a children's story about a guy that gets swallowed by a fish and spat out after 3 days, that points to Jesus, no? Because Jonah was a prophet, ne? And Jonah knew, or God showed Jonah what it's all about. Jesus points to Jonah as a type and a shadow of Jesus being dead in the grave for only 3 days. Jonah was not eaten by the whale, ne? Jonah wasn't eaten. Jonah did not die in the whale. The whale spat him out, ne? The whale spat him out, and in the same way, Jesus would not remain in the grave. Death could not hold him. It spat him out, no? Yes. Jonah, when he was in the belly of the whale, quotes a psalm of David. This is very interesting. He quotes a psalm of David. In Psalm 16, verse 10, David says, "For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave." Okay, that is what David said. That's even more hundreds of years before Jonah. Ne? So David prophesies and he says this, "For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave." Like, who thinks of things like that?
Yes.
Like, I'm writing a poem and I write that. Huh? That is inspired by God. That is inspired by God. Where else can an idea like that come from? No? "For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. David wrote that prophetically. He could not have been speaking about himself, ne? Because David did not rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And then years later, Jonah, in the belly of the fish, remembers this prophecy of David. And he prays to God in the belly of the fish. Jonah 2 verse 6 says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Okay, I know that sounds like very old English, but it's quite easy to understand. Yet hast thou, God, brought up my life from corruption. Okay, oh my Lord. It is like a double prophecy. No? Just like Jonah, Jesus was not left to rot in the grave. He did not experience corruption. That corruption is talking about rotting in the grave. Okay. Then Jesus mentions that the people that repented when Jonah preached to them will rise from the grave and condemn those who did not believe at the preaching of Jesus. Okay. Because a greater one than Jonah was there, Jesus. No? The people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yes.
Those people, in Jesus' time, their hearts were so hard that even when the Son of God was preaching to them, they did not want to listen. That is why God said those men in Nineveh,
yes,
that listened to Jonah,
yes,
and repented, they will judge you because you do not listen to me. Speaking about Jesus himself, no? What Jesus was actually saying is that the world will receive a sign,
yes,
that will prove that Jesus is who he said he is. What is the sign? What is that sign? It is?
Jonah.
Yes, Jonah, but what does Jonah point to? Jesus, yes, the Opstanding, the resurrection. The resurrection, eh? That is what we need to believe. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that Jesus is God and that Jesus is who he said he is. After Jesus clears the temple, the religious leaders ask Jesus to prove himself again with a sign.
Yes.
Jesus did not point to the many miracles that he did. Eh? Jesus didn't point out that he raised someone from the dead.
Yes.
He did not point to God speaking from heaven.
Yes.
He pointed to his own resurrection.
Yes.
Okay. When they wanted a sign for him to prove who he was, he pointed to his own resurrection. John 2 verse 18. John 2 verse 18. John 2 verse 18 says, but the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? Jesus, I'm not sure what Jesus did there, but he was probably healing someone on the Sabbath or doing something good, and it was very upsetting to the religious leaders of the day. But they ask him, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said, this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this. And they believed.
Amen.
They believed. Ne? Both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Jesus pointed to his resurrection. His disciples heard it and they believed. Ne? That is what we need to believe. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was the one thing that forever separates him from any other religious leader who has ever been or will ever live. No other religious figure in history has ever prophesied about his own death and resurrection and then accomplished it.
Yeah.
The resurrection of Jesus is the most important part of the gospel. If you do not believe that he rose from the dead, you are missing out on the best part. Without the resurrection, there is no new birth. There is no eternal life. There is no salvation. There is no being one with God. There is no relationship with God. If you don't believe in the resurrection, there is no gospel. No?
Yeah.
Therefore, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in order to correct a false teaching that said that there is no resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and we looked at that earlier. But we are now at verse 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 says, "But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either." Verse 14. "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and our faith is useless. And we, apostles, would be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are guilty of all your sins." So, that's terrible. Praise Jesus, that's not the truth, man.
Amen.
If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. Sure. The whole Christianity hangs on the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
Here are the main points that Paul is bringing across. Number one, we preach that Jesus rose from the dead. Number two, if there is no physical resurrection from the dead, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. If that is true, then we are preaching a useless lie. Number four, if that is true, your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sin. And you are lost. Number five, if Jesus is our only hope to be saved, then we are to be pitied. Ons moet jammer gekry word. Because then we are in trouble. Big trouble. Because Jesus was our only hope. Né? That is if there was no resurrection. So Paul is explaining the implications of saying that Jesus did not rise from the dead. And is very serious. The whole Christian faith is built on that truth. And then Paul makes this point in verse 20. He says, But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. I like that, no? How it says, but in fact. Praise the Lord because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
It is a fact.
Amen.
We witnessed it. The apostles witnessed it. No? Paul saw Jesus on the road. Jesus' resurrection proves that your false teaching is false. That is what Paul used to disprove their false teaching. To prove that their false teaching is false is the resurrection of Jesus. He is saying, I saw Jesus alive. So the resurrection of the dead is true. Therefore, your false teaching is false. Nay? Does that make sense? Jesus did rise from the grave. Our preaching and our faith is not useless. Guys, we believe in a living God. The only true God. If this was a country where Christians were persecuted, I would be killed. This? It's very serious, eh? Thank goodness. But Jesus is the only true living God. And it is only through Him that we can be saved. He is the only way to the Father. Verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21 says, are you there?
Yes.
So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. That's Jesus, ne? Who was the first man?
Adam.
Yes. Well taught church, eh? The second man, the other man was?
Jesus.
Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection, Paul says. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. Sure. Because Christ is risen, so are we. Because
yes.
Christ are risen, so are we. Paul refers here to something in the Old Testament. He says that Jesus was the first of the harvest. Nay? Or the first fruits of all who would be raised. The Israelites in the time of the Old Testament, nay? They couldn't fully harvest all of their field, their crop, nay? Until they went to the priest with the first fruits. They had to gather a little bit, the first fruits, the first ripe fruits that they saw on their field. The first pumpkin that was fully grown, the first corn that was grown, the first grapes that they saw on the vines. They had to take those and go to the priest. Okay, and that is what Jesus is. Jesus was the first fruits.
Amen.
You can look at that in Leviticus 23 verse 10, but I'm not going to go there just for interest. You can go and look there, Leviticus 23 verse 10. This is what Paul is saying here. Christ's own resurrection was the first fruits of the resurrection harvest. Okay? So Jesus was the first fruits, those the first fruits that were ripe and ready to be plucked, but the rest was still to come. Eh?
Yeah.
The rest is still to come. Something was to follow, and that something would be His followers, the rest of the field, the rest of the crop. And who is that? Who is the rest of the harvest? Us, yes, it is us. It is us. Thanks to Jesus' resurrection, we are also resurrected. Amen. We are part of His harvest. Now let's skip down in verse 1 Corinthians 15. Skip down to verse 30. Verse 30. 3-0. I know this morning I have a longer message than usual, but I believe it's good. Amen.
Amen.
This is Easter after all. gotta make use of the opportunity.
Amen.
Verse 30. And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? This is the apostle speaking, Paul. He's speaking on behalf of himself and the other apostles. Why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead. People were being persecuted in the time of Jesus or in the time of the apostles. They were being persecuted. They were being thrown into lions' dens. They were forced to fight in Gladiator. You have ever watched the movie Gladiator? No? There was like big, like a stadium, and people would watch Christians being torn apart by lions. They would watch Christians be put on poles and burnt alive. Paul is asking, why would we do this? Why would we go through this? Those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, let us feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. I think there is a much greater focus on the resurrection in places where Christians are persecuted severely for their faith. The resurrection from the dead is a great hope. It is a great hope. And something to fix our eyes on when you know that you might be killed any moment for your belief and your faith and your trust in Jesus. Spreading the gospel is top priority in the hearts of persecuted believers, because they realized that at any moment could be the last moment for someone else. They realize that time is short. In places where there is no persecution, the gospel has become more about how to live a comfortable life. That is very sad. But the resurrection from the dead was a great hope, and it is what fueled those guys to be willing to be burned alive, to fight animals, and to not deny their faith. They would not deny Jesus Christ because they knew they will be resurrected one day. That's how they could go through those things. If there was no resurrection and we all just died and disappeared, this life would have no meaning. What would be the point of everything? Feast and drink, do whatever you want, do whatever you feel like. Just live for yourself. Life has no meaning, no purpose, if there is no resurrection from the dead. From verse 50 onwards, Paul explains how our bodies will be transformed into bodies that will never die, there in Corinthians 15. Just click pause there. It's the Bible app that is reading the Bible for her. All right. It happens to everyone. Don't worry. From verse 50 onwards, Paul explains how our bodies will be transformed into bodies that will never die. Bodies that will be forever free from sin, disease, sickness, aging and death. But I don't have time to talk about that this morning. Let's skip down to verse 56. Verse 56, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. It says, for sin is the sting. Think of a bee that stings, eh? Sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gave sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus was aiming for. He gives us victory over sin and death, the greatest enemies of humankind. The most terrible things that you can face in this world, in this reality, Jesus has given us victory over that. Wow. That's why Paul says, thank God. Huh?
Amen.
Thank God. Does that make you happy?
Amen.
makes me happy. Amen. Jesus gives us victory over sin and death through His death and resurrection. Through His death, He takes care of our sin. And through His resurrection, He defeats death for us. Romans 4 verse 24. You don't have to go there. You can maybe just listen and write down the reference. Romans 4 verse 24 says, "But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness." To whom God will credit righteousness. Think of someone that is very rich. He gives you, you get a notification on your phone, ping, $1 million rand in your bank account. There you go. Eternal life. That is what this picture is. He will credit righteousness to be right with God to you. For us to believe in Him, let me read the verse from the start. Romans 4 verse 24, "But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in Him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and He was raised to life for our justification." What do we need to do to share in the resurrection of Jesus? What do we need to do to share in the resurrection of Jesus? Just believe. Just believe. Jesus became sin and bore the penalty for that sin. The penalty was death on a cross. He rose to life so that we can be justified. Justified, an easy, very boiled down definition, can be justified. Just if I had never sinned. That is how God made you. It is as if you had never sinned. Justified. Just if I'd never sinned. Don't quote me on that. Okay? So now we do not have to bear the penalty, the natural effect of sin, which is death. We get eternal life. Jesus died in our place, and God can now declare us right in His sight. I'm almost finished. Romans 8 verse 11. Romans 8 verse 11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." His Spirit lives in you. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Think about this. The Spirit of God lives in you. He rose Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that had the power to raise Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Amen.
Sure. Thank you, Jesus. And because He raised Jesus from the dead, He will raise you from the dead as well. Think about that. Do you believe that you will be raised from the dead? That's glorious. That's glorious. That's something to look forward to. It's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. Just hold on. Just hold on. I want to read for you a quote from a Canadian scientist, G.B. Hardy. Okay, it's a Canadian scientist. His name is G.B. Hardy. He said, "When I looked at religion, I said, I have two questions. One, has anybody ever conquered death?" Okay? This is his two questions. Has anybody ever conquered death? Okay? Number one. And number two, if they have, did they make a way for me to conquer death? Okay? I checked the tomb of Buddha, and it was occupied. He was still lying there. Ne? And it was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Confucius. Confucius was a Chinese guy that believed in ancestor worship and doing good works. Okay? That's Confucius. And guess what? Where was Confucius? He was lying there. He was still lying there. It was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Muhammad. And it was occupied. It was occupied. And I came to the tomb of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And it was empty.
Yes.
Amen. And then he said, and I said, there is one who conquered death. And I asked the second question. So he found the one that conquered death. Ne? He found him. It's Jesus. And I asked the second question. Did he make a way for me to do it too? And I opened the Bible and I discovered that he said, because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
Huh? Argue as you will, there is no point in following a loser. There is no point in following a loser. But we don't follow a loser. We follow Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.ca. And if you're ever in the Solaris Pass area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.ca.